Will you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10? Today we're going to talk about a very important thing, and I hope that you will pay very close attention to the Word of God. In fact, this morning, let us follow the custom that was laid down in the Bible. We read about it in Nehemiah. Let us stand together for the reading of God's Word. Let us honor the Word of God by standing to give our attention to it. There's something about standing. The first thing it is, it shows who has their Bibles out and who doesn't. Hebrews 10, so, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. By faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. May the Lord bless his word, and you may be seated. I believe there are three great errors of faith that we are in danger of having. There are three great errors of faith that we, right here, this message applies to us. It's not just given to the world out there. I'm not preaching to people who aren't here. I am preaching to those of us who are here. There are three great errors that we are in danger of committing when it comes to faith. And today I want to lay out those three great errors, and I want to show what faith is not, and then I want to show what faith is. And we will see that in the contrast between these three areas. There are three areas of faith where we are in danger of falling into error and being ineffective in what God expects from us. The first error of faith is we confuse faith with fatalism. We confuse faith with fatalism. What do you mean by fatalism? Well, fatalism is what is taught by the Muslims. The Muslims believe in fatalism, but not Christians. Fatalism says whatever will be, will be. Whatever is, God must want. We often talk in those ways. Well, if God wants to change it, He'll change it. That is fatalism. It is not faith. We must understand that God's faith that He expects of us is a faith that says God's will must be fought for. God's will does not happen by mere happenstance. It must be fought for. God's will does not happen automatically. Everything that happens in the world is not God's will. God's will must be fought for. You say, How can that be? Whatever happens must be God's will. Absolutely not. If that were true, then Jesus is the most ludicrous of teachers in the world. Because when Jesus taught us to pray, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, what did Jesus say to pray? When Jesus said, here's a model for how you should be praying. Here are the kinds of things you should be praying about. He said, first of all, address God as Father, our Father. And I want you to notice something. It is not Daddy. I've heard lots of people talk about how we are to address God as Daddy. Jesus did not say that. He did not say Abba. He said, Apater, our Father, who art in heaven. Abba was the intimate form of address from a child to their father. Pater was the formal address of a child to their father that showed adequate respect and deference. He said, our Father who art in heaven, let your name be set apart. Hallowed be your name. Let your name be set apart. Now, God's name is set apart because God says he has exalted his name above all things. But what Jesus is saying is, Lord, may I recognize how high and exalted your name is. And may it be that way in people's lives and consciousness, because people are the only ones in the universe that do not, people and demons are the only ones in the universe that don't acknowledge God's name. Everything else does. But then he said, thy kingdom come, pray this, Lord, let your kingdom come, what? Let your will be done. Now, if God's will happened automatically, if everything that happened was God's will, what a ludicrous thing to pray. Why on earth would anyone pray for God's will if it happened automatically? So all that happens is not God's will. God allows defiance against his will. That's why Satan was allowed in heaven to say, I will. That's why Eve and then Adam in the garden were allowed to say, I will. I will take that fruit. God said, no, that's his will. I'll do the opposite. And you know, before we castigate Adam and Eve, I don't believe that any of us would have done any better in the garden. Which one of us has not known that something was wrong to do and yet willingly, eagerly, did it? God's will must be fought for. We see this in the life of Daniel. Look with me at Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. We see this very important view that faith is not fatalism. Fate is not what will be, will be. If God wants it done, he'll do it. If it's God's will, it'll happen. Notice Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. Daniel 1, in 9, 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord, given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. It was written in the Bible. It was obviously God's word. It was a prophecy. So Daniel said, here's what Daniel said. It's written in the Bible. It'll happen. Praise God. I just have to rejoice about it. Absolutely not. Daniel understood, as we need to understand, faith is not fatalism. Just because God says it doesn't mean it will happen. God expects us to enter in to calling down his will. As Jesus said, pray, thy will be done. So what does it say? So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition. He didn't just say, so I said, God, you're going to do it. Praise God, and walked away. God's will needs to be fought for, and Daniel fought for it. He says, I pleaded, I prayed. I didn't say, well, God, you said it, so it'll happen. He says, you said it, God, it needs to happen, it needs to happen, it needs to happen. And he set himself to calling down God's will from heaven to earth. He says, he fasted, and he put on sackcloth and ashes. He said, since it's God's will, it is worth my life to fight for. Now, Daniel was prime minister. Do you think Daniel had a busy schedule? You think that Daniel had demands on his time? You think that Daniel had responsibilities that he had to do? You think that there's any one of us here who can say, well, you know, I'm not like Daniel, you know, that only had a nation to run. Yet notice the priority in Daniel's life, even though he was prime minister. He says, I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition. In fasting and sackcloth and ashes, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Let me ask you, do you have the kind of faith that doesn't say, well, God's in control, God will do it, it's okay? Do you have the kind of faith that says things are not the way God desires them? Things are not the way they should be. God's will is not being done. So like Daniel, I am going to set my heart to cry out, to call down, to intervene for God's will to come. Look with me at a second one. Look with me back at Exodus 17. Exodus 17. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Verse 8. Exodus 17, 8. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. Notice the battle wasn't won without Joshua going out to fight. Today we want to win battles without any war. We want God to do all the work and us to sit back in beds of ease and then just reap in the blessing. And there are times when God may do that, but God has never promised to do that. He sent Joshua out to fight. But notice what it says. The fight was not what brought the victory. Let me say there are two things that you need to be doing right now and I need to be doing right now. And you need to mark these down. I forget who the man who said this originally was. He was a godly man from about 50 years ago, and his name has jumped out of my head. But I want you to listen to this saying. I want you to write it down, because you need to understand that faith is not fatalism. It's not, oh, God's will triumph. God will do what he wants to do. Faith says, I will call down God's will from heaven to earth. Here's what he said. He said, we must work. We must work as though God is going to do nothing. We must work as though God is going to do nothing. And we must pray as though all our work counts for nothing. We must work as though God is going to do nothing. People say, well, it doesn't do anything. So what? My son said today, you know, Dad, you've driven a lot of people out of this church. I don't own that. I preach the truth. And there's no one that I know of that left this church to to go to a place to get more truth. I'm not saying that everyone who's left went to some place where there isn't any truth, but no one said, you know, the truth isn't there. I'm going someplace to get more truth. I don't care whether God moves or not. We need to work as though He's moving. That's faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, Hebrews 11:1. It is being certain of what we do not see. I do not see God moving in the kind of convicting power that I believe He should be doing. I do not see it. But I believe that God is moving and that He will honor His Word. And if He honors His Word by damning people, He will honor His Word. And if He honors His Word by saving people, He will honor His Word. But either way, His Word will be honored. Joshua went out to fight. But notice what it says. The second part of that, we must pray as though our work counts for nothing. All of Joshua's fighting and all the men bleeding and dying on the battlefield did nothing. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever Moses lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses was crying out to God, God, give us victory. God, lift us up. God, we need You to fight. There was victory. But when Moses began to slump off in his prayer, somebody says, no, it just says he held up the staff. God has never been a God that just jumps to ritual. God has never moved but by heartfelt worship and prayer of Him. Holding up the hands was not what did it. It was merely the symbol of what Moses was doing. As long as Moses prayed, there was victory. When there wasn't, there was defeat. And today we say, oh, there's defeat on every hand, and there is. Then the question is it because we're lowering our hands? Well, maybe God wants it that way. I can see Moses up on the hill. He lowers his hands and the Amalekites winning. He goes, well, I guess God wants the Amalekites to win. I'll just sit up here and watch the slaughter. What will be, will be. No. Moses entered in and he raised his arms back up and he cried out and victory came again. Moses did not believe that faith was fatalism. He believed that victory came through believing God, crying out to Him. I want you to look at some verses. Will you look with me at some verses? Will you look at Psalm? We're going to look at just a handful of Psalms here, and then we're going to go on to point two. Look at Psalm 5, verse 3. The fifth Psalm, verse 3. Faith is not fatalism. Faith is expectancy. In the morning, O Lord, You hear My voice. Now, notice what he says. Give ear, verse 1, to My words, O Lord. Consider My sighing. David's not in a good place. Things are not going well with David. He's sighing. He's in a hard place. Are you in a hard place today? Oh, it must be God's will. Never. Listen to My cry for help, My King and My God. For to You I pray. In the morning, O Lord, You hear My voice. In the morning I lay my request before You and wait in expectation. David didn't say, well, you know, I pray and what will be, that's faith. God wants to do it, He'll do it. If He doesn't, He doesn't. He said, I will lift my voice to God. I will call His will from heaven to earth. I will know what God wants and I will fight for it. That's faith. And I will expect God to move. Look at Psalm 119. That longest chapter in the longest book in the Bible. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. The psalmist again is in a bad place. And you know, I believe there are some of us here that just say, you know, we're in a bad place, so it must be what God wants for us. You know, let's just pack it up and go home. Here's what he says. He says, my soul faints, Psalm 119:81. With what? With longing for your salvation. He says, I long for it. But I have put my hope in your word. Oh, I don't see it. But faith is being certain of what we do not see. It is being sure of what we hope for. My eyes fail, verse 82, looking for your promise. I say, when, not if. If will you comfort me? No, I say when. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. When is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Is it the next day? I got to hold on because it's going to come. When is it going to happen? Faith is not fatalism. Faith is expectancy. It's looking for it. Look at Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. He says, I wait for the Lord. Faith is being sure of what's hoped for. Being certain what is not seen. He says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning. More than the watchman waits for the morning. I don't know if any of you have ever been a night watchman, but I used to do third shift night watch at the seminary where I went. And I did it on Saturday night into Sunday morning. I knew I'd have to get up and go to church in about an hour after I got off the shift. And boy, about 5 in the morning, there's nobody around, it's all quiet, and you have to walk around and punch the key in the various places, and oh man, you just can't wait for that shift to get over. David says, I'm longing for God's will more than that watchman at 5 in the morning. How about you? Are you just waiting for God to move? Are you crying out like David? Are you crying out like Daniel? Are you saying, God, bring your will from heaven to earth? It won't happen unless I pray. Have you ever considered this? What if God is waiting for your prayers, that the future of this community waits on your prayers and yours alone? You say, that couldn't happen. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know that you're not the person that God's waiting for? God was waiting for Daniel. Daniel was ready for God. Faith is not fatalism. Second of all, not only does Hebrews 11:1 say faith is being certain of what we hope for, being sure of what we do not see. But the second thing it says is Hebrews 10:36. Hebrews 10:36, number two, it says you have need to persevere. You have need of perseverance. Faith is not a burst. Faith is in it for the long haul. The reason that many of us never come to God in the way that He wants is we do a burst. It doesn't accomplish what we want and we give up. But look at what Hebrews says. Hebrews says, if you want to, it would be okay for you to persevere. Is that what Hebrews 10:36 says? You can, if you want to, persevere. It would be an okay thing if you desire to persevere. Is that what the Word of God says? Or does the Word of God say what? You need to persevere. How many times have we come to maybe a special week of meetings or a special week of prayer or a special time of thing, and we go, oh man, this was so great. God spoke to me. And then the next week we disappear. What if God wants us to live the way we lived for that special week every week? Look at what James says. Look at James 1. James 1. James 1, beginning at verse 4. James 1. Here's that same word the writer of Hebrews used. He says, perseverance. What's the next word? Perseverance can sometimes. Perseverance, it's okay if it does. James 1:4 says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe. He must have faith and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of a sea blown and tossed by the wind. I'm up today, I'm down tomorrow. I'm in today, I'm out tomorrow. I'm for it today, I'm against it tomorrow. In and out, up and down. You ever been to the shore? Stood in those waves, the waves come in, the waves go out. The waves come in, the waves go out. And if you try to stand there when those waves are crashing, you get dragged out and then pushed in and dragged out. And he says, if that's what you're like, today I'm high, tomorrow I'm low. Today I show up, tomorrow I'm missing. That's not faith. That's doubt. He says you need to persevere. Look what Hosea says. Look at what Hosea says. And boy, this is so. Hosea's right after Daniel. If you go to Daniel, just go a very little way and you'll be right in Hosea. Hosea, it's the first of those little minor prophets that you can never find. But it's a fairly big one. It's got 12 chapters. So, Hosea, chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7. Israel's arrogance testifies against him. But despite all this, he does not return to the Lord his God or search for him. Ephraim, which is another word for Judah or Israel, is like a dove, easily deceived and senseless, now calling on Egypt. Now running to Assyria, back and forth, up and down, in and out. Look here, look there, look someplace else, but they don't search for God. Let me ask you, are you searching for God? Not just for a day, oops, didn't work, let's run to Egypt. Oh, that didn't work, let's run to Assyria. Oh, let's get this program. Oh, let's listen to this teacher. Oh, let's run here. Let's run there. Let's jump up and down. Let's turn around. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around, and that's what it's all about. He says faith needs to persevere. I want you to notice something. Look with me at 2 Chronicles. Look with me at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 34. Second Chronicles 34, verse 1. Second Chronicles 34, 1. Josiah, one of the best kings of Israel, one of the greatest revivals in Israel's history, second only probably to Hezekiah, and perhaps equal to Hezekiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. How often we think because we have a burst of faith, we walk three steps in the same direction, we're serving God. Was there a time when you were doing things of God that you're not doing today? Shame. Shame, shame, shame. You need to persevere. You need to persevere. You need to keep at it. Look what Hebrews says about that. Hebrews chapter 11. I don't care what others may do. I don't care what others may say. I am going to go on in seeking the Lord until He comes or I die, whichever comes first. Do you have that in your soul today? Have you set yourself that whether God comes or I die, whichever comes first, that's what I'm going to do? Or have you said, well, you know, I've tried it. I don't know. I'll give it another whale. Okay, maybe. Notice what it says. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. It says, I'm sorry, verse 13. Hebrews 11, 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted they were aliens and strangers on earth. They never got the promise. You know, there's a lot of people that prayed for America, that prayed that God would do a work in America and never saw it. Men like A.W. Tozer, who predicted exactly where the church... He predicted this emergent church nonsense, and he died in 1963, I believe it is. He predicted it. 45 years ago, he predicted it. And then he went home to glory. Oh, he died and never saw it. No, he died in faith. Men like Leonard Ravenhill, men like Reedhead. There are men and women who died in faith proclaiming the truth and saying there's a day when God will come again. And to their dying day, they lived for it. How about you? Have you set your heart that I am going to begin to seek the Lord today, and I am going to be seeking Him the day I die or the day He comes, whichever comes first? You see, that's faith. Faith isn't a week of, oh, I made it out for a week. Oh, I prayed for a week. Oh, I cried out to the Lord for a week. Oh, I was trusting God for a week or a month or a day or an hour or a year. It is from this day forward, I have set my heart. That's faith. You need to persevere. How long until He comes? Until you die. Faith is not fatalism, it's expectancy. Faith is not a burst of activity, it's perseverance. And then number three, faith is not just being upset. Faith is not just being upset. So often, we think faith is, days are terrible. What's happening is terrible. What's happening in the church is terrible. What's happening in the nation is terrible. I feel so bad about it. That's faith. Being vexed is not faith. Let me show you something. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 7. And if He, God, rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Oh, he felt bad. Oh, God, isn't it so terrible how it's happening here in Sodom? Oh, it's so horrible. Oh, God, did you see what happened down on the other street the other day? Oh, it's just, oh, I don't know how it can get any worse. But I want to tell you something. God may have rescued Lot out of Sodom, but God never used Lot in any way. Lot was a waste of space in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Oh, he may have been vexed. Oh, he may have wept. Oh, he may have said, it's so terrible, God. Why couldn't it just be better? Why couldn't these be easier times? Why do these people have to be so nasty? He may have wept and cried and screamed and carried on, but God never used Lot in any way. He was a waste of space in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And even though he's called a righteous man, he accomplished nothing from God. Oh, but you contrast that with Abraham. Genesis 18. God came and talked to Abraham. Let me ask you, is faith to you being a Lot, going, oh, it's terrible, I wish it was better, calling that faith? That is not faith. Saying, oh, things are bad, I know it, it's bad days, that is not faith. Faith recognizes the bad days, but faith does something about it. Look at Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18, 17. Then the Lord said, Genesis 18, 17, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the ways of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sins so grievous that I will go down and see what they have that. If what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I'll know. Well, Lord, if that's your will, go ahead. You see, many of us, because of our fatalism, would say, okay, God, you want to go down to Sodom and nuke it? Can I bring marshmallows? Not Abraham. Men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Verse 22, verse 23, then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? God, let me remind you of your attributes. God, let me remind you of your promises. God, let me remind you of who you are. Do you think that God needed Abraham to tell him who he was? Do you think God was saying, wait a minute, I didn't know that? No, God doesn't need us to tell him who he is. But he needs us to get on the same page as he is. And Abraham begins to rehearse the truths of God before the Lord. He says, what if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50? Far be it from you. He talks for God. Abraham had the audacity to talk from God, for God. He says, far be it from you to do such a thing. God, I know your character well enough to know that you wouldn't do those things. Do we know God's character so well that we know what God would and what God wouldn't do? Do we know what God wants to do and what he has to do, even though he doesn't want to do it? Abraham did, and he didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a computer program to scan the Bible and pull up verses for him. Not one word of the Word of God had been written, yet Abraham knew what God would and what God wouldn't do. And we have all of these things, preachers and churches and Bibles. Do you know exactly what God would and exactly what God wouldn't do? Because you're so familiar with the nature of God, because you have come to know Him so intimately? Abraham did. Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous and the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in Sodom, I'll spare the whole place. Abraham said, good, I'm done. No, he didn't. Abraham said, wait a minute, God. What if there's only 45? God said, okay, 45. He said, now, I've been so bold, speak to the Lord. Abraham knew he was getting himself in hot water. He didn't care. For him, God's will on earth meant more than his survival, his blessing, his benefit. He was willing to put himself on the line. Moses did the same thing a few hundred years later when he says, God, if you're going to kill all those Israelites and dishonor your name in front of Pharaoh, kill me first. And you know, God could have just said, good, and wiped Moses out on the spot. But he didn't, because God loves a man. God loves a woman. God loves a young person that's willing to stand in his face and fight for his kingdom. That's faith. And he said, what about 40? What about 30? What about 20? I'm even going to go so far, God, I'm way out on a limb, I'm going to go out further. Does faith push you further onto a limb? Or when you start to get out on the limb, do you go far enough, God? This is as far as I'm going to go. Abraham said, what about 10? And you know, I believe that Abraham couldn't conceive that there weren't 10 righteous people in that city, because I believe if Abraham would have thought that there weren't 10 righteous people in that city, he'd have gotten it down to one. I think Abraham stopped because he didn't know what God knew, that there weren't 10 righteous men in that city. I think that when Abraham got down to 10, he thought, I'm safe now. That huge city, there's got to be 10. And he stopped at 10. I think if Abraham would have dreamed that there weren't 10 righteous men in that city, he'd have gone to one. He didn't, because he didn't know what God knew. Let me ask you, what's your view of faith today? Do you believe that just because you say, well, whatever happens must be God's will, that's faith? No, that's not faith, that's fatalism. Faith is expecting God to do what He promised and fighting for it to happen with all that's in you, just like Daniel did. Is faith for you a burst? Oh, if I, you know, let's have a special meeting and then maybe I'll get a little burst. Or have you set yourself to serve God? You have need to persevere. Have you confused being vexed and distressed and tormented over the unrighteousness of the wicked in this wicked land that's faith? That somehow the very fact that you feel vexed and disturbed and troubled over the unrighteousness somehow makes us better than them? Or are you an Abraham who wants to get in God's face and says, are you a person that God would visit before He brought destruction? Because He would say, man, I got to share this with Jimmy. Yeah, share this with Jeff. I got to share this with you before I go and do this. Because you're a person that's going to be a blessing to the whole world. You know how to intercede. He never went to Lot and said, Lot, intercede for the city that you're in. He went to Abraham. because he knew who Abraham was. Does he know your name? Because you have faith. You see, it doesn't say Lot was the father of all those who believe. It says who? Abraham was the father of faith because he understood what faith was. Let me ask you, do we understand what faith is now? Are we willing to give up fatalism and say, well, what will be, God knows, it'll just happen according to His will. No, it won't, not unless we fight for His will. God's will not be done on earth unless somebody fights for it. And why not you? Why not now? I'm not talking about a little burst. Oh, Pastor, this message really convicted me. You know, I'm going to come out to prayer, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that for a week. Are you willing to set yourself to seek God till you die trying, or until He comes? Are you willing to say, it's not enough that I see the problem, I'm going to be an Abraham who prays for the solution? We need to understand God is looking for people of faith. Are we people of faith? Let's bow together. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would take your word and that you would drive it deeply into our hearts and minds, that you would convict us, that you would show us where we have allowed fatalism to replace faith, where we have allowed bursts of activity to supplant perseverance, where we have been content that we don't like the situation, so that makes us okay, rather than like an Abraham being a person who gets in your face and says, oh God, far be it from you too. Oh God, we need to have somebody in this place who will drive a stake in the ground and say, oh God, I will be the man, I will be the woman who begins to believe you, who has faith, who will do what you want done, so that the America, which is the Sodom of the 21st century, might not perish. So that this church might not perish. So Christianity in America might not perish. Lord, I pray that there is a man, there is a woman in this place who will respond in faith and say, I will be that man, I will be that woman, I will be that young person. Oh God, may we come to faith in Jesus' name. Amen.